Take out your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. For the last few weeks, we've been studying a topic entitled, Your Fellow Pursuers. Everybody say, Your Fellow Pursuers. Now this topic that we're studying has been a study of what accompanies you as you pursue the will of God. You have things that are pursuing the will of God with you. You are not by yourself as you pursue the inheritance that God has for you as an individual. We are not by ourselves as we pursue the inheritance that God has for us as a church. God has pursuers that are running along with us as we seek His will. And as a church, we've been embracing the call to pursue after the things that God has given us. And many of these things that God has given us have been stolen by the enemy. How many of you know God has stolen some things from the body of Christ down throughout the years? Not God, the devil. I'd Ron to come up here and preach this with me. Hallelujah. God didn't steal them, the devil did. Okay, let's say that again. I now understand why nobody raised their hand hardly. All right, how many of you know the devil has stolen some things from the body of Christ down through the years? I was a part of a great movement of God many years ago. God was really moving. It wasn't perfect, but God was moving through it mightily. And some things happened, and some doors were open, and we allowed doors to come open, and Satan was able to come in, and he was able to do some things to stop the move of God. But I have also found out something else, and that is the Lord is a great restorer. And I have found out that when things appear to be stolen from you, they're really not stolen. God actually has them in a trust for you. Now, they may look a little bit different if you've had a relationship stolen from you, a husband or a wife leave or something of that nature. I'm not saying it'll be the exact same person that will come back to you, but God is a great restorer. God holds His inheritance for His children. I can remember one time, it just seemed like life was passing me by after I was born again. And I just kept seeing people step up into their inheritance, and I just didn't seem to be stepping up into mine. And I was really concerned, and I thought, Lord, people are taking, I believe, things that belong to me. Something must be wrong with me. I'm not getting what belongs to me, and other people are stepping up and taking those places and taking those inheritances. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, look, your lot is secure. And He said, the boundary lines that I have drawn out for you are in pleasant places. And He said, you don't have to worry about it. No one can take what I have for you. It's held in trust for you. So you don't have to get angry and frustrated and jealous of other people. When you see things happening in their lives, you just have to believe me. And continue to have an open heart toward me. And continue to trust me. And as you walk in that way, I will, in due season, when the time is right, I will thrust you directly into what I have for you. No devil in hell can steal it, and no man can step into it. It is reserved in heaven for you. Remember that, Steve. It's reserved in heaven for you. It's kept for you. And we've been embracing the call and the word that God has things that have been laid up for the body of Christ, many of them that appear to have been stolen. But God is saying at this hour they've not been stolen. They've actually been set aside and are awaiting an appointed time for God to restore them to the body of Christ. And when Moses, one of our overseers, Moses Fay, came, he gave us the word out of 1 Samuel chapter 30, and many of you have been studying that. And that word had three basic components to it. And the first component was that we need to pursue after. It's time to go after the things that God has in store for the body of Christ. Things that appear to have been put on hold. Things that appear to have been stolen. It is time now to pursue and go to war over those things. The second component of the word was this. If you will pursue, you will overtake. Now, some of you had things stolen so long ago, it just appears impossible that God could put those things back into your life. But God is saying, I don't care if those things have been stolen 25 years ago. There are things that God has in store for His people that He is going to place into their life as part of His inheritance. And even if there's been a long period of time between the time that it disappeared and now, God is saying that doesn't matter. If you will choose to pursue, you will overtake. And then God gives the word that's the most mind-blowing of all. He said, if you will choose to pursue, you will overtake. And then He said, you will recover it all. And that all is such a small word, but it's so easy to stumble over. Recover it all. God, how can that be? Some of it the enemy's had for years. It's got to have been wasted and destroyed and taken away and used up. God is saying, I have been taking care of some things for the body of Christ. I have been keeping them and watching over them, and they've been stored up. And now is the time that I am releasing my people to possess the things that have appear to have been stolen by the enemy. Now that's a good place right there to say amen.
Amen.
And I know you don't believe it. I can see it in your face. I do. I struggled over it for a while. The Lord showed me I was struggling over it. Moses Vay didn't show me I was struggling over it. I told y'all about when I was sitting in my chair in my bedroom, and I had been preaching this word for a couple of weeks, and the Lord came to me. He said, you haven't asked me at all what you're supposed to be pursuing after. And when He said that, I knew that what He was really saying to me is, you don't believe you're going to recover it all because you haven't even asked about it. You're just preaching it. If you're pursuing after things, then you're going to want to know what you're going after. You need to know. David knew what he was going after, and you need to know what you're going after. When God said the word all to David, pictures came into David's mind. He knew exactly what God was talking about. And so the Lord began to flood my mind with pictures of things that He's restoring to the body of Christ. Some things He's restoring to this church specifically. Some of them are going to enter in through this gate here at this house, and we're going to be distributors of them. Okay, we're going to be able to bless them and break them and multiply them and hand them out to other people in the body of Christ, other bodies of Christ, other people that are serving the Lord. But it's real. And I know that word all, especially when things have been taken by an enemy and when they've been gone a long time, all is almost impossible to believe for. But if God says all, then He means all. And this is not a word that's coming from man. This is a word that's coming from the Lord. And is it a challenging word? You bet it is. It challenges me every day. But Ross, every day I'm getting more and more on board with it. Every day I say, Lord, I can see it in my mind before it even happens. And brothers and sisters, you are a partaker of it. Look at your neighbor and say, you are a partaker. You are a partaker of it. And so you need to start believing it. So it's time for the people of God to go on the offensive with the promise that if they obey and pursue, they're going to recover what the enemy has stolen. Now I want to read to you a scripture that God gave to me years ago after I came to Fort Worth. And He told me this, and we are now living in the fulfillment of this time. But Isaiah chapter 49, verses 8 and 9. This is a scripture the Lord gave to me after I came here. And it says, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. Well, I could preach out of this and probably will in a few weeks, just this scripture. And in the days of salvation, I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people. In other words, the Lord has a covenant that He is keeping with us as a people. And here's what the covenant is. To restore the earth, and in a lot of translations, is to restore the land. To cause them to inherit the desolate inheritance, or heritages. And in the, this is the way I like it in the New King James. It says, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances. And when I started studying the word desolate, Rhonda and I studied it last night. It does have to do with the raping of the land and the destruction of things, but it has as much to do with just people standing in awe over something that happened that was bad. I can't believe that that happened. That was flying so high, that was so powerful, and now it's been brought down to earth. And God's saying, I'm reassigning these things. They were assigned at one point in time. I'm reassigning them. He says, I'm restoring possessions, land, things that identify my people. I'm restoring a place that is going to serve as a foundation from which I can bless them. I'm restoring those things. And then he said, there's going to be power along with that. And he says, because when I, as I'm reassigning and restoring these things, I'm giving them the power to say to the captives, come out. And to those in darkness, be free. And we as a church are getting off our blessed assurances, and we're going out there to the place where we can speak the word, come out and be free to people. We're doing that on Tuesdays. We're going to start doing that more and more and more, where we can actually go out into the darkness in places where people are bound and speak the word of freedom over them. Now, we all love the story of Lazarus being raised from the tomb. But Jesus was walking in, you got to be walking in a graveyard if you're going to raise somebody. And a lot of people don't want to get their hands dirty. And they're afraid of places of death and afraid of those type of places. Well, that's just what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to those places. Keith Green said some people want to build a want to live within the sound of chapel bells. He said, but I'd rather make my home a yard from the gate of hell. And you know why you say that? Because that's where you reap the reward. That's where people are born again. That's where people are saved. And brothers and sisters, I'll talk about that more later. But that scripture right there is a scripture for this church. And all of you need to write down Isaiah 49:8-9, and you need to be chewing on it and saying, God, what are you saying to me out of this? Because this is an inheritance scripture. It's an inheritance scripture. It comes from some of our forefathers, and some of you didn't even know some of these forefathers. But God is unstopping wells that the enemy, that our forefathers dug, and the enemy filled them up with dirt. And we are in the time of those wells being redug, and the water's going to flow again. You understand what I'm saying? Well, about three people understand. Well, let me tell you what, those three people are going to be happy. You know what? I'm serious about this. Because we are going to see God do what He has promised. God never allows the enemy to win in a situation. It may not be in an exact place or situation that he turned where it all got messed up, that he turns it all around. But I'm going to tell you, he is going to make it happen. Because the enemy's not going to win in this thing, Pastor Roy. He's not going to win. And so that's the word of the Lord. And you need to be embracing that. And over the last few weeks, we've been discussing the pursuit, because we're in pursuit of these things. I was in pursuit last night on my bed. Laying there, telling God, I believe, Lord, that you have said that these things are ours. And we take them. And we say yes to them and amen. And I was doing battle over those things. And we've been discussing and how we're not alone as we chase after things. And Mark 15:16, verse 15 tells us who is pursuing with us as we go after these things. And so it says this. And Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world. In other words, he's telling them, pursue. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these pursuers will follow those who believe. And here they're called signs. But when you look at them following, a sign doesn't go anywhere, it just sits stationary. But he's saying these things are going to be mobile. And they're going to go with you wherever you go if you're a believer. He said, in my name, you're going to cast out demons. I'm going to give you the authority and the power that when the enemy is identified with the property of God, that you can evict him and take it back. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. He said, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The things that I have done, you will do, and greater things, because I am at the right hand of the Father, saying amen to it, to the desire, to the plan of God. I'm saying amen to it, at the right hand of God. And then he says, the one we're going to focus on today, they will take up serpents. In other words, we're going to learn about a pursuer today, since they have the ability to take up serpents. Now, I'm going to tell you something that won't happen. Okay, we're not going to be a snake handling church. Okay, snakes give me the heebie-jeebies. You know, now I'm not afraid of them. If God has to send us out and we have to do something like that, but I'm not going to have any snake crawling down my collar. I mean, you know, I'm not going to have them around my neck. We're not going to be carrying them and all that kind of stuff like that. I just don't believe that's what God's saying, and I'm not putting down people that do that. As a matter of fact, this morning I've showed you a video clip the last 2 weeks. I started to show you one of that happening in church. And you know what the Lord said? Don't show that. The Lord said, don't make fun of anything. He said, some people might take that as you making fun. And I said, okay, Lord, I won't do that. But I'm going to tell you, nevertheless, regardless of the fact that we won't be handling snakes to prove that God is with us, there's still an important truth in this scripture. And I asked the Lord, I said, well, what's the difference between casting out demons and taking up serpents? And the Lord said, one is identified and the other is camouflaged. One you can see and know exactly what it is. The other one hides and blends in. And you got to understand, these things are written to an agrarian farming society. And when people were out working in the fields in those days, you know what was a big risk to them? There were serpents. They still do that in India. I've seen it. Out there working in the vineyards. And man, those big cobras are out there laying underneath the stalks as they go out there to get ready to take in the harvest. Those big cobras are underneath the stalks and right underneath the grass. And these guys are out there working and they're moving through these fields and they're going through high grass. And that was common in those days. And serpents were a very real risk to them. And the risk was that you couldn't see them. If you can see a serpent, you can avoid it. If you can't see it, that's where the danger is. Satan has the ability to hide and to blend in. And Jesus is saying, we've got a pursuer following along with us that is moving with us in such a way we don't have to be afraid of the unseen attacks of the enemy. We don't have to be afraid of him hiding and lying somewhere and we can't see it. Because a lot of people won't go because they know there are snakes in the field. And they won't go. And the Bible talks about sloth. And it says the slothful man will not go out of his house because he says there's a lion in the streets. I'm not going to go. I can't go out. Something may happen to me. Well, you know, in a field that we go into, this last week, I don't know if y'all read the news or not, but an apartment that we feed in, just this last week, somebody was stabbed to death. Two women got in a fight over a man. I can't imagine that. There ain't a man worth getting stabbed over, unless it's Jesus. Well, I don't mean that. I mean, if it's real, but it's a guy, some probably hard-head guy. They don't, you know. And they're getting fight over that, and one stabbed the other girl and killed her right there at the Bellagio Apartments. And that's where we go and feed. That's one of our places we go, that I go with the group I go with. And so, you know, people look, well, I can't go out there no more past the parking. There's snakes out there. You mighty right there's snakes out there. Yeah, there's snakes out there, but that ain't stopping us from going. And that's what the Lord said. He said, go. He said, I know there's snakes there. He said, but I'm going to give you power over that. In the name of Jesus. Now, let me read this scripture to you. Over time, when we think about serpents, from a scriptural perspective, what we understand in many times that the Lord is not just, that the Bible is not just talking about a physical serpent, but it's actually talking about the devil himself and demons. And from the very beginning, Satan appeared in the form of a serpent, or working through a serpent, to attack mankind. And you've seen it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not every eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it.'" He didn't say that, but I think that's something that Adam just threw in. He said, "Don't." God said, "Don't." As a matter of fact, just don't touch it. It would be the best thing. Just don't even handle it. He said, "Lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." So here we go. The serpent is directly contradicting God's word. And he's speaking to a lot of you in direct contradiction to God's word. Some of you, God's saying pursue, and Satan's saying you better not. He said, "I'm laying in wait out here. You're not going to know, but I'm going to strike you. And by the time I strike you, you're not even going to know what hit you, because you won't see it coming." And Satan is here distorting God's word and lying against God's word. He says, "For God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." And the sowing of this lie and the rebellion of Adam and Eve, through all that, the earth fell under a curse. And since his appearance in the form of a serpent to Adam and Eve, Satan's been known as the serpent of old. It says in Revelation 12:9. He even appears he's appeared sometimes in the form of a dragon. But the promise of Jesus in Mark 16 is that if we pursue God's will, we're going to have the ability to take up these serpents. We're going to have the ability over, the power over these camouflaged spirits that are lying in wait. Remember Jesus' comment when he sent out the men two by two into ministry? He said he gave them authority to heal the sick and over demons. But they had to believe that. They didn't get to see it happen before they went. They just had to go out as people invested with the power of God and the authority of God. And when they went out and saw that what God had said to them was true, they came back rejoicing, and they said to Jesus in Luke 10, 18 and 19, they said, we're so excited, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Now, one of the things that's interesting about Lucifer, before he fell, he wasn't disguised. I mean, everybody knew who he was. He was exalted and beautiful and sitting in the right there among the fiery stones of God's presence. He wasn't exalted. But the Lord said, "I saw him fall like lightning from heaven." And when he came down to this earth, he starts working undercover, and he starts moving in a different way. But Jesus said, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all," everybody say all "the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And when I read that scripture, I said, "Lord, that scripture is not true, because the people that go out in the field do get hurt by the enemy. People that make a choice to go out in the field, they do get hurt." And then the Lord said, "Well, why don't you look up the definition of what the hurt means?" So I went into the original language and I started studying that. And the Bible is saying here, it does not guarantee us freedom from pain, but it does mean that nothing that happens to us can happen to us. Let's say it this way. Nothing can happen to us that is contrary to what is divinely approved. Now, I can handle that. That doesn't mean that whatever happens to me out there is arbitrary, Steve. That's where we get scared. Well, the devil's, he's just a rogue. You know, he's just a rogue. He can do whatever he wants to do. He doesn't answer to anybody. Let me tell you what, in your life, he is a dog on a leash.
Amen.
All right? And God has a hold of the leash. And he can only do what is allowed And yeah, the Cowboys are going to play tonight. Tony Romo is going to be on the sidelines. And you know what? Yeah, people are happy about that. Tony's on the sidelines.
Hallelujah.
Well, Ben, you know why he's on the sidelines? Because there's no risk of him getting hurt. And the people that are out there on the field are taking a risk of injury. But Jesus is saying that nothing is going to happen to you, my children, as you play in this game and follow your captain and go where I tell you to go and run the plays I tell you to run and do the things I tell you to do. Nothing is going to happen to you that is contrary to my divinely approved plan. Now, God does use Satan as a pawn at times. I'm not saying God causes things, but I'm saying God will use everything to bring about His glory and His goodness. And I'm not of the delusion that if I'm going to follow God and get out there, that that's going to be free from attack. My Lord, when I said I would take this position, when the Lord told me to do this, I mean, good Lord. At times you feel like stand before God and say, you love me and you told me to do this. And you say you love me? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you do. You look at it and go, if this is the way you're loving me, don't love me so much, baby. You're loving me too much. But then every time I do that, he says, well, so you're telling me you want to go to the sidelines? I said, no, I want to be in the game. Because when I want to be a part of when we score, I want to be a part of that. And when this game is over, I want my uniform dirty. I grew up being a football player. I know what it's like to have to work your way into the starting positions. And I know what it's like to leave the field with a clean uniform. I hated that. God, if I could just get some grass stains on my uniform. Man, when you're sitting there warming up before the game, you're pulling grass out of the ground and just rubbing it on your uniform. Man, I don't want the cheerleaders to see me with a clean uniform. Pour some water over me so it'll look like sweat. But boy, when you walk off that field, and you know how you smell when you walk off? I mean, those of you that play football, you know, man, those pads soak that sweat up and you stink real good. You walk off and you got blood on one side and grass stains and dirt on the other. Man, there's no feeling like that. Because you know what? You've been in the game. You were a part of what happened. And one day when we celebrate that championship there in heaven, when it's all over, and when we celebrate that victory, I want to be able to say I was on the field. I don't want to be able to say, well, I was there, but I was on the sidelines. I want to be on the field. I want to be a part of that. And when they call the starters up to honor them, I want to be able to be up there. Whether anybody knows our name here or not is really irrelevant, but boy, I want them to know my name someday when we get there. How many of you say I have that same desire, Pastor? It just burns inside of me. I want them to know who I am. I don't want to walk up to Apostle Paul and say, excuse me, I don't believe I know you. I don't want to walk up to Jesus and him him say, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, how'd you not know me? I mean, I was a part of the city. I was, you know, a part of the team. I went to church. I wore the right colors. I said, I'm sorry. I don't recognize you. I don't recognize you. And you know, my heart beats for someday to be there and Jesus say, come here, let me tell you a story about this guy when we get in heaven. Oh, my heart just dies for that. I want that so badly. And you know what? The same power that cast Satan out in the original rebellion in heaven is running with you in your pursuit. The enemy has power, but you have authority. And with that authority comes all the power of heaven. And I know we get struck sometimes on our heel by the enemy. But don't fear it. God's turning everything around and using it for our good and for His glory. And I want to leave you with one final story, and then we're done today. You remember the story in Acts 28, verses 1 through 6, about the Apostle Paul. Man, they had been through a bad storm on a ship. Bad storm. And they finally came to an island of Malta. And they came to this island, and it looked like they were safe. And they got out, and it was cold and rainy there. And I want to read the story to you. It says, "Now when they had escaped," and it's talking about the shipwreck, "then they found out that the island that they were on was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, 'There's no doubt this man's a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice is not allowing him to live.' But Paul shook off the creature into the fire, and he suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." God's going to take us many places in this pursuit. And some of the goods that God is storing up for us are hidden in some dark places. Serpents like to hide in dark places, and they like to be undercover. And some of the things you're going to reach for, some of you are going to be reaching in some holes for some things. And you're going to think, "Well, I'm going to put my hand down in that hole. Wonder what's down in that hole." Well, I'm just giving you a word today. The Lord is saying, don't you be afraid. Because yes, there are serpents in the field. But even if a serpent bites us in our work, approved work for the Lord, in our pursuit of His will, it is not going to harm us. So I'm looking for a bunch of people, when we run across a hole and God says the enemy has hidden something in that hole that belongs to the body of Christ, I'm looking for people that aren't, "I ain't going in there, it might be a snake in there." I'm looking for somebody that will say, "Everybody get back, I'll go in." And man, if they come out with a snake hanging off their hand, they'll just shake it off. It's going to be all right. It's going to be good. Because God said one of the pursuers in this race is the power to take up serpents, and everything's going to be okay. Amen? Yeah. Now that's running with you. So don't be afraid to go into the dark places and recover what the enemy has stolen. Do you get that? Yeah. All right, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you very much for everything that you've done for us. And thank you, Lord, that we are protected as we go. And yes, there are serpents waiting out there. Some of them curled around the very things that God has said belong to the body. But God, when you say stick our hand in and reap, we're going to stick our hand in and reap without fear. And Lord God, I thank you for the protection over serpents and over the fact that the enemy lies, the camouflaged enemy that lies hidden in the grass. And Father, we give you praise that nothing is going to happen to us that is outside the divinely ordained will of God. And we just give you glory, honor, and praise and thanks for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Yes, that's a good word. That's a word for pursuers. Okay? How many of you are pursuers? I'm a pursuer. All right, but that's a word for you. Well, we're going to take up our morning tithes and offerings. But before we do, I got a couple of things real shortly that I want you to hear about. We went over the last couple of weeks. I want to ask Zach Carlson to come up here and Pastor John. We went over the last couple of weeks out into the field where the snakes are. And we were going after things that God said belonged to Him. And we had a couple of really neat things happen while we were out there. And I just wanted to share some of the neat things that happened. Now, Zach went out with one of the teams to feed, went into the Las Vegas Trail area to feed last week, didn't you, Zach? Well, tell them what happened while you were out there.
All right, so we were going out to the apartments, and we were handing out food to children 18 and under. And there's this one apartment building that they never accepted the lunches for whatever reason. And it got to the point where they weren't even answering the door whenever we would knock. And so, but me and my group, we were walking around, and we came back, and this particular apartment is right in front of where we always park our van. So we're sitting there waiting for the second group, and the little boy's name is Moses, and I didn't get the sister's name, but I mean, they're 10 and younger. And Moses comes out, and he walks right up to us, and he looks at us, and he's like, "I just wanted to thank y'all for coming and helping the children in the apartment." And he had cut out about 20 of these. All different styles. It wasn't like he took a bunch of papers and cut a whole bunch the same. No, he took the time and cut 20 different ones for everyone in our group. As you can see, this choked me up quite a bit. But it was just so cool, because he hadn't even accepted the lunches. But yet he was grateful to see what was happening with all the other families in that apartment complex.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Pastor John, they had an interesting thing happen too. Tell them, Pastor.
Yeah, we went out a few weeks ago, and 108 degrees or whatever, and we went into a place really kind of praying as we're out there and being led by the Spirit, just kind of asking God, which direction, where do you want us to go? Because the truth is the need is so great out there. We could spend 8 hours a day all week long to knock on every single door. And we just kind of felt led to go around the corner up at the very top, this one right by the highway, this one apartment. We knocked on the door and said, "Listen, we're from a local church here. We just want to love you with a sandwich and the love of Jesus." And met this wonderful lady with 4 or 5 kids, and she kind of broke down and told us, "You have no idea what this is about, what's happening here." She said, "This morning I woke up, my kids were hungry, and they asked for breakfast, so I got up and I made them a pancake, but all we had left was a pancake for about that much of a pancake. That's how much mix we had left over." And she said, "I just prayed." She said, "I broke down and prayed and said, 'God, you've got to do something here. I'm desperate.'" And here we are a few hours after that, knocking on her door and offering her lunches for all of her children. And she's, how can you say there isn't a God when he takes care of those children like that? It's amazing.
Amen. And you know what? All of that is out there where people were stabbed and where snakes are lying. But God said go, and we're going.